Good morning. It's good to be back. I enjoy coming out. I love the what's the word? It's family here. So the church I come from is very much like this, and many of the churches that I've led have been very much like this as well. So I enjoy coming here because it feels like being at home when I come out. And I come out on Mother's Day, and which is a tricky one, and the clocks went forward as well, didn't they? So I overheard, I'm from YCC, I'm part of the team there, and I was in the coffee shop this week, and I overheard these two women speaking, and they said, oh, don't forget, it's Mother's Day Sunday. And then the other lady went, and the clocks are going forward, aren't they? She went, yeah. She goes, isn't that typical? The one day of the year set aside for us, and we lose an hour straight away. And so, it's an interesting day. It's a bit of a perfect storm for church, I think, as well, with the half marathon going on in town, trying to get round that and the change in the clocks. But I thought I would look this morning from something of what Paul says in his letter to the church at I'm never sure whether it's Colossae or Colossae. I'm never sure. It's potato, potato, isn't it? Or scone or scone. But in Colossians, his letter there. And I thought I would look at what is an incredible job description. Because as I read this, I thought, you know what? That sounds like the job description of a mother. And Mothering Sunday, I know this is difficult for some women. I know there are some women who are not going to be at church this morning because they find the subject of mothering, if they're not able to be a mum, or if your experience of your parents wasn't that good, it can be quite a difficult day. But as I read these things here in Colossians, we're going to be in chapter 3, and just two verses, verses 12 and 4, so that's Colossians 3, 12 to 14, I thought, you know what, this is actually celebrating some of the good things about who we are as people, some of the beautiful things about being human. So we look at Colossians 3, 12 to 14, and Paul writes, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, Paul had never been to Colossae. He'd been to Ephesus and he'd preached. And we're told that Epaphras and Tychicus, I think is how you pronounce it, these disciples, these young Christians, took the message from Ephesus back to Colossae, and the church starts there. And so Paul writes to them. They've never met Paul, but he writes this letter of encouragement to them. And he gives them this incredible job description of being a Christian. And I thought the songs this morning were perfect. They fit perfectly with what I want to say this morning. Because this sounds to me like the job description of what a mum should be. Look at the qualities of being a mum. Start with a nurse. How many times do the children come running to you with cuts and grazes and you've got to mend them? My mum actually trained as a nurse, and I lived on a large housing estate. And it was incredible. People would turn up with their children bleeding and just bring them to my mum. And she would patch them up. We had a first aid box that was the size of a suitcase. I think all that was in there, to be honest, was an awful lot of germaline, the good old-fashioned pink stuff that would cure anything up to a broken bone. Various elastic bandages and plasters of all sizes and the odd bit of strapping. And my mum would patch these children up, including us. There were times people turned up with cats that had been in fights. And I remember mum sitting there patching up someone's cat. But that was her. That was her. She trained as a nurse, and that's how she displayed love. Cooking. You can see from me that In our family, love was displayed through food. My mum and my dad both didn't know who their parents were. My mum grew up in Barnardo's, so she didn't know her parents. My dad was adopted. He didn't know his parents. But for them, the one thing that really showed love was a roof over your head, central heating, and food. And that's how love was shown in it. And I'm still the same. You pick these things up. We show love. I do it by feeding people. One of the things about my mum, I was one of five. And if it wasn't my mates around the house, there was always one of my brothers or my sister's friends around the house. Whenever mum cooked, she cooked extra meals. There was always an extra plate or two of food because one of our friends would be there. Even on Christmas Day, my mate Rob would always be there. He was really annoying. He would eat nonstop and he was really skinny. But even on Christmas Day, he would turn up for his Christmas dinner with us and then go back to his parents for his Christmas dinner with his family. But this was how love was shown. It was through being a nurse. It was through being a cook. Cleaners. Mums have to clean up all the mess, don't they? Chauffeur. Mums taxis. You drive the children everywhere. An encyclopedia. You have to be a font of knowledge to your kids. A troubleshooter, cleaning up the mistakes, sorting out the problems, even a TV remote. How many times have the kids said to you, you know, what side's it on? What time's that program on? You know, you are the font of all knowledge. And that's a heck of a job description, isn't it? And that's just some of the things. Those are just some of the basic things. But then I was thinking how much the qualities of a mum sound like the qualities of a Christian. Paul says in his letter there, put on these virtues, bind them together with love, whether you're a mother or not, whether you're a boy or a girl, a child, an adult. This is what you're meant to look like. Sorry, I don't know the guy's names, but the chap on there, I've actually preached on what he said about how do you smell? Do you stink? It's actually in scripture. It talks about the aroma we give off. But that's what Paul's saying here. How do you come across to people? Are you humble? Are you kind? Are you loving? Are you gracious? And I was really pleased when we sung that song, I'm Chosen, I'm a Child of God, because there in verse 12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, and then he starts going into the virtues that we should clothe ourselves with. Were any of you chosen for the school team to play football or hockey or whatever it was? We played football. We didn't play rugby at our school. It was a rough school. Rugby was for the posh kids. Didn't play hockey. The girls were vicious. We were taught to play hockey against the girls, and there was this ground stick. I don't know if they do that anymore. There were three of those, and then then we did this, and I remember it to this day. I'm standing opposite this girl, and there's the guys versus the girls, and we're thinking, this is going to be so easy. And we did the ground stick, and then she just went bang! And belted me one with the stick. I thought, you know, I don't want to play this game. This is way too rough. But when you get picked, when you're chosen for the school, how good does that feel? You put on your team, your school colors, and you feel fantastic. Paul says here, you are God's chosen people. The thing about being chosen to represent your school is only if you're good enough. The teachers obviously want to win the games. They don't want to send out people who they think can't play the game. Or maybe it's in some schools it was about how good a talker you were. You know, oratory, these kinds of things. These kinds of competitions. Swimming. Swimming was never a strong point of mine. I never made the school swimming team. That was the one team that I didn't make. I didn't enjoy school. I went to school for sport. That's why I had 5 years of playing sport. Loved it. But I was in all the teams and I felt so proud. But we were only picked if we were good enough. Here God says, you are chosen because God has chosen you and he is love. He has chosen you. When I remember reading the Bible and seeing Jesus, one of the first times I was reading it. And there's that bit about He calls his disciples to follow him. And I was thinking, how incredible that must have been. But then how different is that to him calling us? He has called us by name. He has said to us, come and follow me. And to follow Jesus isn't going for a lovely walk in the summer around the fields. To follow Jesus is to live as Jesus lived. That's what he means. So we're chosen, we're dearly loved, not because we're good enough, because we know the reality is we're not. But as we sung again this morning, he always forgives us. His love is everlasting. He never gives up on us. We are chosen because he is the loving Father in heaven. Not because you're the fastest, not because you're good at three-legged race or anything like that. You are chosen because you are God's creation. I love in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, we are God's handiwork. There's a lovely Greek translation of that that I think fits better. It says, you are God's artwork. You are God's artwork, created to reflect his love and his glory into the world. As we meet people, and as that pleasant aroma of Christ should come from us to others, we are reflecting the glory of the God who made us. We are reflecting the beauty of he who is the beautiful one. We are his artwork. Have you ever thought of yourself as a piece of artwork, chosen to reflect the glory of God into the world? Second thing in verse 12, Paul says, because you are chosen, clothe yourself with compassion, with love, humility, gentleness, patience, and on top of all that, put on love, which binds it together, which sticks it all together. I preached on love a few weeks ago, and love is a real woolly word. I love bikes. I love barbecues. I love baptisms. I love everything that begins with the letter B, including aeroplanes, which don't. But do you know what I mean? Our version of the word love is quite woolly, which is why Paul says in Corinthians, this is love. Love isn't proud. Love isn't boastful. Love doesn't remember wrongs. And he lists what is a perfect love. And Paul says here, clothe yourselves with the love of Christ. Let it bind all those other great virtues together. And that's the love that we see manifest in the life of Jesus. I preached on Jesus washing the disciples' feet. There's been many, many thousands of sermons on that. But that's the love we're talking about here. The foot-washing love of Jesus. The servant-hearted love of Jesus. The life-laying down love of Jesus is what Paul says. Clothe yourself with that. Because that will be a pleasant aroma as you go into the world. I was reading about an American guy, Samuel Logan Brengel. What a great name. Not easy to say, though. Samuel Logan Brengel. And in 1878, he was given a vision by God that he was going to lead the Salvation Army. Now, the Salvation Army wasn't even in America, so he traveled all the way to London. He gets to London and he introduces himself to William Booth and says, you know, I've come here from America to help you. And William Booth kind of says to him, well, it's very kind of you, but we can't use you. And Brengel says, what? You know, I lead this massive church in America. It's really successful. I'm a fantastic preacher. I can do all these great things. And William Booth says, yeah, but can you serve? And Brengel says, yeah, well, of course I can serve. Of course I can. Of course I can do that. So William Booth says to him, okay, I have a job for you to do for the next year or two. I want you to polish the boots of the staff. And Brengel says, I've come halfway around the world from America and you want me to polish people's shoes? And then in his mind, he pictured Christ washing the disciples' feet. And he thought, if Jesus can wash their feet, I can polish their shoes. And after many years of serving and displaying the life-loving laying down, the servant-heartedness of Jesus, Brengel in the end, replaced William Booth. And he did take on leadership of the Salvation Army, but only after he chose to polish the boots of the rest of the people. That's the humility, the love, the humbleness, the gentleness that Paul is talking to the people in Colossae about. Clothe yourselves with that kind of love. I bet your mum in the past, and how many of you mums have had to clean your kids' shoes, polish their shoes for them? This is the kind, this is why I looked at this and I thought this is just because, just like a description of a mum. And your mum does these things because she loves you. And our parents do these things because they love us. When I was picked for the school teams, I wanted to do my best not to let down the people that had picked me to play. Also, not to let down my dad. As a boy, I really wanted to impress my dad. Like any son, I wanted to try and emulate and impress my dad. Do we try and start each day thinking, I want to impress my Heavenly Father? I want to live in a way that will make him proud of me today. That should be our driving force. Not because we're afraid of him, because he loves us and has chosen us. And he has created us to reflect his glory and his love into the world. That's why we should live in these ways. So this job description, what does it look like? Well, compassion, helping others, helping those in need. I've been really impressed, brokenhearted to see what's been going on in Ukraine. But once again, so impressed at the reactions and the kindness that I'm seeing of people sending out stuff to those people, praying, trying to help, do all these things. Saw that within lockdown. It was strange. In these horrible things, we see some of the best and some of the worst of humanity. And we choose who we want to serve and who we want to emulate. But be compassionate, like a nurse, helping those in need. Kindness, like the cook, doing and providing good things for others. There's 1,000 ways that we can bring heaven to earth. That has been resounding in my head. The Lord's Prayer, I have said it so many times. But we can just recite it like a parrot, can't we? And that's what Jesus warns us about prayer. Don't just say the words. They have meaning. That line, your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. When we display compassion and kindness, humility like William Brengel there, polishing the shoes of others. Bearing with one another, not giving up on each other, even if we have a grievance against them. Forgive them like God has forgiven you. When I spoke about love the other week, Jesus says, I'm going to give you a new commandment to love one another. Now the people would have been saying, that's not a new commandment. God's told us to love all along. God is love. But then he says this, love in the way that I have loved you. And here Paul says, forgive in the way that you are forgiven. This is following Jesus. I knew a lady who came to faith. She came to faith in a bizarre way through her marriage falling apart. And she went to a CAP Christian weekend, and there were some lovely Christian ladies there with her. And one of the ladies was teaching on forgiveness. And this lady whose marriage has just broken up, she was very bitter about it, and particularly about this other woman. And she said, I can never forgive her for what she's done. And the lady said to her, the forgiveness is as much about for you as for them. When you forgive, you free yourself. And she realized the power of forgiveness. The strength within that to forgive others in the way that God has forgiven us is as liberating for us when we can forgive others. We let ourselves free. We free ourselves from the hurt, from the bitterness, and all the bad stuff that does to us by when we forgive others. And we have the perfect example. How many times have we messed up? I'm not even going to say how many times have you messed up. I hear myself when I talk to myself. How many times, Keith, you know what you should be doing? Paul says, the stuff I know I should do, I don't do it. The stuff I know I shouldn't do, I do. Ah! It's part of being human. But God doesn't give up. He doesn't go, well, you've used up your nine lives or whatever. Interesting point. You know when the disciples come to Jesus and they say, how many times must I forgive someone? And they say seven times. And then he says, no, seven times seven, which is 49, isn't it? I wonder whether Jesus was hinting towards Jubilee at 50. Jubilee is the forgiveness of all the debts. Everything in the interesting thing, they never practiced Jubilee. Jubilee never got practiced. But it is by God. The forgiveness of everything, the wiping clean of all the slates. How many times does God forgive you? Seven times seven, 49 times 49. God's forgiveness is endless. And I am so glad of that. I just wish I wasn't such hard work for him. Gentleness, we need to see that because it brings perfect unity in the family of God. Patience. Our mums were always there as a shoulder to cry on. They never gave up on us. My mum would say, if you fall off that wall, don't come running to me when you break your leg. It was ironic humour. We didn't get it as a kid. We did go running to her with all the cuts and the grazes. But your parents never give up on you. Patience can be called forbearance, and that's what we see with God, that he never gives up on us. He is the one who calls you by name to follow him as his disciple. And so, ladies of the church, I've put quite a heavy responsibility on you there to say this is the same kind of description as we see with our mums. But I want to say it to the guys of the church as well. I want to say it to some of the youngsters as well. This is the job description, not just of a mum, but of a follower of Jesus Christ. To live this way. They say there's no such thing as a free lunch, don't they? I was thinking of, you know, Mother's Day with the chocolates and the flowers. I hope you got those this morning, ladies. I didn't see any on the tables here. I'm guessing they're at home. And, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. So you've got to work hard for your flowers and your chocolates. But there is such a thing as a free lunch, and that is the salvation that we get from God. There is the ultimate free lunch. In this world, they say nothing comes free. Well, that's because it's from the world. But from heaven, God's forgiveness comes free. His grace comes free. His choosing you as a disciple, as a follower of him, comes free because of the price he has paid. So he has paid the ultimate price that we can look good and smell good and be good and clothe ourselves with him. So my challenge to you is in the weeks to come, using the idea that was said there, smell good, look good, clothe yourselves with compassion and love, and then the honor goes to God, and the glory goes to him, and his kingdom comes on earth as is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that your word is alive, that it is like a two-edged sword that can cut to the deepest areas of our lives. Father, I pray this morning that where we need to be challenged, we will be challenged. I pray this morning that where we need to be set free, your word will do that for us. And I pray this morning that we will receive more of your spirit. Therefore, in receiving more of you, Lord, that we can display more of you out into the world, to be your artwork, to reflect your love and your glory. Help us to be, Lord, who we were called and created to be as we clothe ourselves with your love. Father, thank you for the church here. Thank you for its work. I just praise you for the young children we see running around. Thank you for each and every one of them as a gift. Thank you for the life and the vitality here. Thank you for the sun shining through the window this morning. And I thank you for the peace that we are so fortunate to have here in our country. We pray again for Ukraine. Lord, we pray for humility and peace from the leaders. We pray that you will raise up men and women of integrity and peace. We pray that the fighting will stop, that compassion and humility and love will triumph. We pray, Lord, that the power of love will overcome the love of power. So, Father, have your way in our lives this week, that we may honour and glorify you in all that we do and say and are. Amen.